Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Chad.
And we conclude our holiday horrors with Night of the Comet.
Did you ever wonder what it would be like to be one of the last people on Earth?
We're talking ghost town!
Who would you see?
There's nobody. There's nobody!
What would you do?
Hey, I'm sorry if the end of the world makes me a little nervous.
Where would you go?
The stars are open!
Well, get ready to find out, because the comet is coming into your orbit.
The legal drinking age is now 10, but you will need ID. Let's be real.
It's the Night of the Comet.
What do you give me if I come back?
Texas?
Night of the Comet.
I'll be taking requests from all you teenage comet zombies.
The night the teenagers ruled the world.
Yeah!
Night of the Comet.
The burden of civilization is on us.
Fiction, isn't it?
Oh, gotta love Night of the Comet, which takes place on Christmas, and today happens to be Christmas Eve.
Yay!
Yay! Did you get coal? Did you get a dope-ass gift? I don't know. I may have gotten one of each. I was naughty and nice this year, I think.
Got a nice gift made out of coal.
Oh, that's nice. So we see Catherine Mary Stewart from The Last Starfighter. And Kelly Maroney from Chopping Mall.
And everything.
And everything. Both of them. And everything.
Yeah, they're in a lot of stuff.
They come together with that dude. We don't really need to talk about Hector that much, right? He's like, whatever. It's a girls movie. It's about us fucking girls.
Yeah, I don't think that guy acted between 84 and 95 whenever he got to be on Voyager.
Yeah, Robert Beltran.
Yeah.
They are in this film about this comet that hits, and the movie came out in 84.
Yeah.
This
was kind of there was a few comet movies anticipating the arrival of Halley's Comet, because Halley's Comet came in 86, I believe, and there was a few movies of, like, this one, there's a bunch of really cheapo ones, and then the big comet movie is Life Force. And there were a few of them where they were like, oh no, the comet hasn't been around in a long time. I'll bet there's something evil in it. So they had to exploit that little bit of free publicity, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is actually one of my favorite films. And we were discussing what Christmas movies we should do. I was like, oh shit, that just reminded me. We didn't do another, like, we couldn't find another, like, holiday-esque. It's not Christmas movie that we talked about, maybe like thinking about doing like maybe a Hanukkah one if there was or whatever. Yeah. Damn. All right, well, we'll have another opportunity to do that later. But my choice was this film because I had such fond memories watching it. Gotta love Regina, you know, Catherine Mary Stewart, in her role as the first girl that works at the, you know, trying to make a earn a buck at the movie theater with her like old timey like movie theater costume like wear, which I freaking love.
There's still a few theaters out there that do that. That one, what mall is it at? But there's one where they still dress in those uniforms around here. When I went to see that Man with the Screaming Brain when Bruce Campbell hosted it, everybody was dressed in the old time uniforms like that. Maybe it was just for that event, but I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's kind of bellhop-ish.
Yeah.
And she's playing a video game. Is she on her break? Maybe. Maybe not. She thinks she is, but her boss sure doesn't.
Yeah. You know what this movie reminds me of a little bit, too? Is, I think I was telling you about this, is that Night of the Triffids.
Oh, yeah.
There's a comet that comes in that as well, and bad things happen when the comet hits.
Oh, you know.
Don't keep a giant plant that's poisonous and can move around in your backyard. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's some good advice. PSA the moment, guys. Don't take alienic plants into your home.
Good call.
Yeah. I feel like if some bullshit like that. Like, this is not... This reminded me of the scene, or I should say vice versa, of Independence Day, when you see, because the film opens where everyone is like, they give you kind of like the narration of like what's going on, and that we're awaiting this comet, and the comet is gonna hit, and everyone's outside like cheering and having a comet parties, and they're holding up signs like they're welcoming the comet. And I'm like, no man, I would be like locked. Do I know someone that has a basement that's made out of steel, like lead, something that's gonna save me? I don't know.
And what's funny is that, like, with Halley's Comet and all these things, if you were in the city, you wouldn't be able to see this comet unless it was coming so close to Earth that it might actually hit it, because the lights from the city would blind all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That's the first thing they tell you in all those meteor showers and comet. Like, I remember my mom going out and trying to find Halley's Comet, and you had to go, like, way outside into the country to see it. And then when you did, it was just a little tiny dot moving in the sky. It wasn't as cool and impressive as you know. You always see it on the movie. There's the big, long trail behind it and everything. Well, we're 20 billion miles away from that, so it doesn't look as impressive from the ground.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Like, you would not be able to see shit. Like, you're not seeing nothing. No, so it's just not going to happen.
You're just going to stare at everybody. Everybody's going to get drunk and have the comet party, and the next day they're going to tell stories about who saw the biggest comet.
Yeah, I did. It was just so bright.
The thing was fucking huge, man. It was just like a plane. Don't you live by the airport, Bruce? I don't know what you're talking about.
Now, there are some Valley Girl connections, because, you know, love that movie. And there is some of that in the movie. They're actually Valley Girls. Regina and Samantha are Valley Girls, who are kind of like, I would guess, maybe like army brats.
Well, yeah, they straight up said their dad's in the army.
Yeah. And they have a terrible stepmom who's just literally collecting the checks, living the life while he's off fighting the war or whatever he's doing over there, protecting. And she's just having fucking parties and punching her stepdaughter in the face.
Sleeping with the neighbor.
Yeah, she's a very busy lady.
She's got a lot of time on her hands, though.
She sure does.
Also, any noises you hear in the background, it's Fight Club night at the house for the cats. And they have decided that since it's their first night at Fight Club, they have to fight.
Yeah, it's going down. We wish she had a camera out so we can also film them on the side. Because there is no stopping them. They're going at it. They're like, you know what? I don't appreciate this movie about... We're the cats in the movie. We're not represented.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing, too. I guess there's not going to be a lot of animals left in this world, is there?
No, they got turned to dust or
everybody
zombies.
Everybody and everything that looked at the comet that was out, which is going to be most of the animals, unless they were locked up somewhere.
Camels, you safe. Get it? Because the camel digs his head in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But they weren't looking at the comet. It was just being in front of the comet, though.
Oh, damn. So, if you were outside, you were fucked.
Yeah, it didn't matter if you were looking at it. But the only thing that might be safe would be... I wonder if what happened to the fishes. I wonder if anything underwater. What if what kind of aquatic life was affected by the comet?
I don't know. They didn't really get into that.
See, that's the difference between, like, the movies back in the 80s. They were just like, the comet hit and killed everybody. Let's move on. Now they'd have to have a special science advisor to explain what happened to all the different things and how this would affect the environment. Back then, it was just like, fuck it, everybody's dead.
There would be a lot of things in this movie. The stepmom would be charged with abuse charges for punching a minor. You know, the Regina would probably have lost her job since she spent, like, God knows how much time playing on that damn arcade game, which was, what was the game?
Tempest. And then the guy she's sleeping with are actually, like, borrowing prints from the theater without permission and loaning them out to people for money. And they're also having sex in the theater when they're not on the clock, so.
Boom, and there's our Valley Girl connection. Michael Bowen plays the film guy. Who played Tommy and Valley Girl the year before this movie came out. Valley Girl came out in 83. And also, in the lobby of the theater, there's a Valley Girl poster.
Yeah, she also, in the radio station, she tosses the Valley Girl soundtrack aside as she's trying to decide what to play on the radio.
So there's a lot of Valley Girl in here. Maybe they were like, you know what? We really need to, like, focus on the fact that these are two Valley Girls. And two Valley Girls are really going to like a movie about Valley Girls.
Yeah.
So let's have that everywhere.
You got that. Like, You got the old trick of, hey, we were inside something steel. Regina was inside the movie theater projection booth, which is steel, so she didn't get destroyed by the comet. But now something I always wondered about, all the scientists, later you find out that we hold up in a steel bunker, they left air vents open, and then they partially got affected, but there was no air vents in the movie theater booth?
No, they were underground, remember?
No, they had to be above ground because they're in a movie theater projection booth.
That's true, but it was like it was just wall to wall in there. There were no windows, and it even like there was like a little hallway when they like looked out.
Yeah. I just wondered how they like, you know, the projection booth, you got to breathe in there.
The projection booth looked like it was in a fucking submarine.
Yeah, it's pretty sealed up. And then her sister survives because she's sleeping outside in the tool shed?
Yeah, which makes less sense than the film projection. I could finagle a story about the film projection room.
Yeah, the logic on where you were at on this movie is a little wonky, but it's still fun.
It's still a very fun movie. You know, we saw, like I said, Chopping Mall, Kelly Maroney. It's good to see. I love her. I think she's so cute. She plays Samantha in this film. She's the younger sister, who's a cheerleader, major Valley girl. I would say she's more of a Valley girl than Regina is in some aspects, especially during I guess they're very Valley girlish in the shopping scene. Of course, it's a shopping scene. We have to go shopping because it's like, you know what? Everyone is dead. Money no longer, not an issue. I'm going to go and put all these clothes and be all fancy with my fancy self and not have to pay for anything. I think I would have gone into the mall as well.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't do more with cars. I would like to see them drive up and some. That's the thing you'd think they do too, is like they all show up in their own. Well, I guess the budget, they couldn't really afford to have everybody showing up in their own Ferrari.
Yeah, and then also like they were lucky to have the streets cleared.
Yeah.
For that, doing it like God knows what time they did that. Probably like freaking 5 in the morning.
It had to be early in L.A.
Christmas Day, 5 in the morning.
They did a pretty good job of clearing out the streets, making it look like L.A. was deserted. That was the trick the Omega Man with Charlton Heston used, was they filmed all the scenes where he was out driving around in the abandoned city. They filmed it on Christmas morning, back in the day when every single thing was closed.
Yeah.
So the only thing on the streets was Charlton Heston driving around.
See, I think this film would be one of the first films to really bring together that whole like woman empowerment, because it's like the beginning of the like 80s or going into like mid 80s now.
Yeah.
And you know, women in the workforce, women doing things, that's really gearing up. And you know, when people talk about that 80s movies, like, oh, whatever, they're all male driven and stuff like that, there are a few gems out here, and this is one of them. The movie has a lot of empowerment, you know, if you're into that. I actually never saw it like that before, but now that that's like an everyday thing in today's world, you cannot not see it.
Yeah, and it was good too that they, like, this one wasn't just one of the ones where there's going to be like a final girl, there's going to be final girls, and they make a point of explaining, like, they know how to fight because their dad that's in the army taught them how to fight. He taught them how to use guns. There's the great scene where they go get the guns. They're just shooting the shit out of a car on the side of the road. He's like, ugh, dad would have got us Uzis.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so they're pretty well versed in guns.
They're not fucking around with the guns. That's actually my favorite part of the movie, is that they are so well versed in the artillery. And it looks so believable. It looks so natural at it. Like, yeah, this is something that I do like on a Saturday for fun. With dad, you know, when he's over. But yet, look great doing it. They both look great.
And we got another one, some of the supporting people we haven't talked about is, you got Mary Warnoff, who's been in a ton of horror movies and character roles throughout the years. And you also have Jeffrey Lewis, who's another character actor that's been in almost every damn thing that was made throughout the late 70s, early 80s. He was in it in some capacity. He was that guy that was going to show up on every 80s TV show at some point. He was going to be the guest star. And he was also
they do have a lot of character actors. When I see him, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to get, because he could be like a fucking asshole big time. He's mostly an asshole.
Or he's just going to be the nice guy that lives down the street.
Yeah, you really don't know what you're going to get with that guy. But in this movie, he's an asshole. Yeah, he's like the evil part of the movie where it's like, oh, they actually taken the survivors and draining them of blood so they could like make a serum and shit so they can fix the bullshit that they by leaving the vents. How they're like, oh, we're the smartest fucking scientists in the world and look what we fucking accomplished, but someone forgot to fucking close the vents. That's like Ned. It's like, Ned, damn it, you had to go to the bathroom at that time. I told you, can you just hold it?
Well, this is what you get when you cut money for education.
Well, they really fucked up there because Ned had to really pee and there was no one to hold his shift.
Yeah.
That's the kind of shit that happens. It's a behind the scenes shit that you don't see. But I love, they do have some like kind of Christmas-esque elements. Not too much because it is LA, but in the house party that Doris is having, it's decorated. And obviously when they go to the mall, that's very...
Later when Hector's bringing him presents, he brings it in a red convertible, looks like a sleigh, you know, to kind of invoke a sleigh image.
Mm-hmm.
He's dressed as Santa, got all their presents. The only thing that I like this movie, but the only thing I would like to have seen from it was it would have been nice to see a little bit more passage of time because everything happens relatively quickly. Like, it's maybe a day and a half is where all the events of this movie happen. And it would have been kind of cool to see him exploring some more, you know, and like I said, you know, go get some fancy cars, go do some other things like that and just see what else is out there, you know.
I guess maybe they would have had the time or the money. It actually made its money back, like, twice over. It was a very small budget to begin with, but in those, you know, day and times. But
this would be a pretty good Netflix series, like a 6-part Netflix series.
That would be pretty dope.
Part 1, the comet comes. Part 2, everybody's, you know, seeing the effects of it and all that.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty decent.
Did we forget to mention that the people... either get turned to dust or they're zombies. I know I mentioned the dusting earlier.
Yeah, they turn to dust. And the half-exposed people turn to kind of like creepy zombies. They're slowly deteriorating.
Yeah, they're like themselves, but not.
I think the worse they get, the less control they have, you know?
Yeah, as time goes by, yeah. Because well, when they're in the mall, of course, they run into like the security of the mall. And who were actually box stock boys who decided that they were going to, you know, give themselves higher positions when the world ended and secure this mall.
Like you do.
And they're actually all...
If you don't secure your mall, people are going to fortify that shit and live in it. They're going to squat in it forever. Dawn of the Dead taught us that.
That's very true. And again, not to hark back to a chopping mall. Like, hey.
Thank God the robots weren't there.
Thank God the robots weren't there. That would have been... That's a fucking movie right there. The robots versus the zombies. Who's going to win?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. I would like to see that. Someone make that, please. So, yeah, this would be an excellent 6-part series, Night of the Comet. I would watch that. That would be actually the best thing to, like, do a resurgence for this. Because I would not like to see a remake. Please do not remake this movie. Please, I hope this movie is not in production for a remake.
I've heard it talked about for years, but it's never come off the ground. I think it's just because they can't really figure out a new take on it. Because the technology that they show is pretty dated, you know. But now you're looking at it going, oh, look at that. You have to pull an antenna out on that phone. That computer is all green type, and it's the size of a small car. But other than that, if you took the technology out of it, it pretty well stands up today, you know? So, said other than the dated technology, nothing else in the story really throws a date on it.
You think in 1984, let's say 1983, because production and everything, this movie cost $3 million to make. Today's world, you know, you get a Blumhouse, you could do a decent movie for $5 million, boom.
Well, most of those Blumhouse movies, though, are all confined to one location. That's where they do them so cheap, is because almost all of those, like Into the Dark movies, they're all confined into one location.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of them are so good, though, even if with the one location, this is just a strong story.
Yeah.
You know?
And they could do this one, just you have to set it in a downtown area. Like, if you wanted to do this one cheaper, if you were going to remake it, instead of setting it in L.A., you just set it in a small town.
Yeah, you could totally set it in a small town. I could see this.
Like a Gremlins type thing, you know, where they come out onto the town square and it might even be a little cooler if it was in the snow. Then you could see the dust of people laying on the snow.
Yeah.
So there's ways you could remake this and do it for probably $5 million today. Just do it on a back lot, you know, city set, and just it's a small town in Indiana somewhere. Maybe they hear survivors in L.A. on the radio and they want to get there.
It's not in Indiana. It's not going to be in Hawkins.
No, oh, I just wanted to know. Illinois somewhere like that. Kansas, there you go.
Kansas. Boom, Kansas. One. Well, it made $14.4 million.
So that's pretty good for a $3 million movie.
Hell yeah, especially during its time frame. But that's why I was like trying to gear to, like, do you think that at that time $3 million was a lot of ass money? Because now we'd be like, wow, that's a cheap movie to have been
probably,
made.
That was probably considered a low budget movie at the time.
Yeah.
Because you figure a lot of those, like, Friday the 13th movies cost $3 to $5 million back at the time, and they were considered low budget, so.
Yeah, which is insane because it's like 1984. We take down $3 million back then. Would be God. I mean, God knows how much it would be now. Maybe five or six.
I was kind of surprised they ever made a sequel to it. You know.
Yeah. Especially because it did make its money back.
It made a lot of money. You know, so back then they didn't need a lot of incentive to throw a sequel out. You know.
I'm sure that if we would have looked into it, maybe somebody. There's probably some fan fic something somewhere.
Oh yeah, but not an official one.
No, not an official one. That would have actually been pretty, like, cool to see. I would like to see the continuation story. But then what happens, like, I was trying to think of this. So, Regina has Hector. Samantha has DMK. And then the brother, they're not brother and sister. They're just two kids that they, you know, they're the survivors, the two kid survivors.
That's going to get in a creepy Brady Bunch kind of feel, though, where it's like, oh, it's your sister, but not really.
Are they brother and sister?
No, I'm saying, like, stepbrother and sister.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do? You don't, that's all, I mean, I guess you go out and, like, oh, it's like the TV show they used to watch, where they were, like, going out and trying to, like, look for survivors. The whole world ended. What's his face is in the movie from, oh my goodness, the How I Met Your Mother when he's bleeding from his nose, that actor.
He did that. The Last Man on Earth.
Yeah, The Last Man on Earth. I couldn't remember the damn movie.
Because, yeah, you could just have him going out in other cities because you wouldn't want to live in L.A. because it'd be so big. That was something they mentioned in that The Night of the Triffids book, is that people start moving out, the survivors start moving out of the big cities because as the buildings start to deteriorate, just huge chunks of them start falling off of it. It's like a skyscraper. You know, you get like bricks falling off of it at, you know, from 300 feet in the air, starts killing people as they're walking by. So they have to start moving out of the city because there's no one qualified to repair these buildings.
So the last thing I have to say about the film is actually it is going to be remade by one of the screenwriters from that Southbound movie. It's a woman, Roxanne Benjamin.
Oh yeah, she did that one that we saw. I can't think of the name of it now. It was part of a anthology that XX. She did some in that, and she's done some other things.
Okay. Well, boom. The writer Thomas Eberhardt. Gotta love someone with that name. He did Captain Ron. I love. The Night Before, which I own. This is a movie with Keanu Reeves where they're going around town. Lori Loughlin, I believe, is in the movie. And he has to, like, rescue her. She gets, like, they go to, like, a motel or something, and she gets handcuffed to, like, a bed rail. And they're going all around town. Like, they get separated, and he has to go, like, around town looking for her because she's being sold to, like, a pimp. It's a crazy fuck movie. So he did that. And Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Oh, yeah. The giant baby.
So, yeah. He had done some stuff. And
the way they arranged royalties back in those days, he's probably pretty well set now.
Probably. I would hope so. I mean, he did a lot of stuff. Known and, you know, not well known. Just fine. Work is work, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us in this episode. Oh, I forgot to give my knives. If you have not seen this movie, please watch it, for, you know, the fun of it. It's one of my faves. It's a great holiday film, and I give it 3 knives.
Oh, okay. I was expecting this to be a 4-knifer.
Yeah, I want to be fair and even. So I'm going to give it a good solid 3.
I'd say 3 for me, too. I like it, but the more you watch it, the more you pick at little things about it, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to pick the little things about it. I love it for what it is, And that, you know, the message of, you know, you can do it and, you know, you can survive. You don't have to be solely dependent on one person. It's a good message and it still carries on till today. It's, you know, very relatable. I could totally see this movie coming out with, you know, today's the way that things are today. That movie would fit right in. But my solid three knives. Thank you so much for joining us on our holiday horror special. Merry Christmas. And we will see you in the new year.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.